We are going to have a really special service today. I'm going to invite up in a moment a group from Camilla Roy and Aaron and Carl, some of our local members here, and share some stories. And then after that, we're going to be having the crew that's just come back from Zambia. And then after that, Carol and Leon will be coming up to share some stories from Kenya as well. I'm really looking forward to this for a number of reasons. First of all, for the stories that are going to be shared. But second of all, so that you can get an insight into what my trip was like to Africa to some degree. Many of you have been coming to me and asking, how was the trip to Africa? How was the trip to Africa? And I have been saying nothing at all. Can anyone concur to that? I have been saying absolutely nothing, just saying, just wait. We'll be sharing some stories. And this is the conundrum I've been in. I could either share the A-grade stories, which we're going to be sharing today, and then you'll be sitting here just kind of tapping your feet on your phones or whatever it is you do. Or I could share the B-grade stories and you'd think, oh man, the trip wasn't that good or something like that. And so I'm really glad that we have the opportunity today to share some stories about what God's been doing both in our local area and abroad as well. So I'm sure you're going to be blessed as a result. I'm going to invite the crew up, come up. Yep. Karen, Aaron and Carl. Come and grab a seat, guys. Yeah. Thank you. So many of you will recognize Carl. He's part of the furniture around here. Aaron, maybe you're not as familiar with. Him and his wife, Serena, have moved up from Sydney a number of months ago, going on a year almost, Aaron. And so they've been worshipping here and around the coast. And then we have Karen with us from Camilla Roy Equestrian Center. And Karen runs. Tell us a bit about the Equestrian Center and how you got involved there.
Well, it goes back a little way. I've always been involved with horses, and 24 years ago, I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl who turned out to be profoundly disabled. I lost my way a little bit during a period, and then actually, I feel that God actually extended to me a way that I could move forward and be a part of the life that is out there. Through the centre, because I was always, as I say, involved with horses, I actually created a little bit of a program that helped my daughter, and in doing so, many people came around me that needed help as well. And through the horses and through a community, which I see here today, very similar, we managed to change a few lives and certainly changed mine. And thank you for having me here today and sharing your special day of worship and your sharing. So I'm really very, very honoured to be here, actually.
Yeah, no, the honours, the privilege is ours. So Karen, you got involved in the Equestrian Centre. How did we come to know each other?
I'm not quite sure. I think maybe God played a little bit of a part in that. I'm sure he did. We were offered your services to help out at the centre. We're a not-for-profit organisation that works with different children in the community. Some are with disabilities, a number are with disabilities. Actually, no, abilities. I won't say disabilities. That's a little bit of a no, but no in our little community. Mm. But also children in out-of-home care, which is, you know, it's a very hard one. We actually have to work with a lot of areas. I get called out at night, or I get called out to help in certain areas where children are, you know, just led astray or whatever. And the horses help to bring a calming influence on them. So, you know, it's just been a whole community involvement of working with the horses and the children.
Yeah. So earlier this year, some Arise students, for those of you that don't know, knocked on. I don't think it was your door. It was
Kelly's door. Yeah. They knocked on and they offered. They said, "Oh, what do you do?" And Kelly, and you know, he told them a little bit about the centre. And then from there, we were offered this wonderful gift of having some of you guys come out and work on the facility out there to make it a little bit safer. It gets very hard at times to get the things done. We're often involved with emotional side with the children, and it tends to sort of take a little bit more time than we expect. And to have these different things done we just would never have got them. We just don't get round to it.
Yeah.
So we're so pleased to have your help. Actually, you skipped out on it a little bit, Joel. Thank God for Aaron over here that took up. You know, we kind of kept contacting Joel for a little while, and then
can I just grab that microphone off you for a second, Karen? There's some sides of the story that we'd prefer to keep. No, I'm joking, Karen. I'm joking. No, what actually happened was, just from my side of the story, we're just doing a little group counselling here. I'm joking. The Arise students knock on Kelly's door, who works with you there at the centre, and their question was, how can we be of service to you? And then the story comes about this group in our community that is working to support those that have been born with, we would say disabilities, but as you've said, other abilities. And so coming alongside and supporting and nurturing. And so we just saw a unique opportunity as a church. As you say, when you're there in the trenches, you've got your head down, you're doing what needs to be done on a daily basis. And so we as a community saw an opportunity to come alongside and support this amazing ministry that is taking place. You may not call it a ministry in your line of work, but we definitely see that you're providing a ministry to our community. And so Aaron, that's where Aaron came in, because I'm there meeting Karen and I'm saying, what needs to be done here? Karen's saying, well, this, and I'm looking around, and as many of you know that have shaken my hand, there's no calluses here. I don't get on the shovel too often. I don't pick up the tools, and so I was kind of twiddling my thumb, sorry to say. You were. So Aaron is a builder that is familiar with our community, and so Aaron, do you want to share about your involvement?
Yeah, so Joel called me up, and so we arranged to meet, and we went there, and Karen walked through everything with us and what needed doing, and there was a list on the little whiteboard that they had there. I was overwhelmed. I wasn't sure if we were meant to get through the whole list, but we gave it a good crack. It took a while from that meeting to actually do the working bee, just because, you know, personal life, like a lot of just teeing up time and things like that. But we did it. It was great. Carl took over from Joel when he jetted off to somewhere else and didn't help. But no. So it was great. And we put, you probably are aware, we was it during worship, asked if anyone could come. And we had, how many people do we have?
I think 15.
Yeah. It was a good group. It was more than I thought. And we got through a lot of work. We built a fence, like a traditional post and rail fence.
We have some photos on the screen here. We're skipping ahead. Nope. Do you want to go back to the start of the slideshow, Rajan? Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, painting the container.
Yeah.
I still have to build a roof over that container, so if anyone wants to help me, I've got to go back there.
Awesome. Who's that?
Tim
Higgins. Oh, Tim. Oh, well, awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's a cubby that we built for the kids. Sometimes they need to look after some kids while others are riding.
And that's it.
We often get left with children that have nowhere to go, so they often come home to our place, or we spend a bit more time out at the centre, and there's rabbits and chooks, and as well as the horses and the cats, and, yeah, it's a good place for them to be. It's a little bit better than taking them to a motel, which unfortunately that's what happens in our community. A lot of these children are shipped off to a motel for overnight, but we try to provide a different environment.
Mm. Yeah. So It's good to see Carl there, not so much getting his hands dirty, but they're getting involved.
It looks like he's about to do the dishes or something. Yeah. He's,
protecting his dermatitis. It's good work, Carl. Unfortunately, I didn't get any more calluses from the experience, as I was hoping to get there and do some work. But, things lined up with Africa. And Aaron was more crucial in the whole planning of the event than I was, so we went with his schedule over mine. Just for the record, I wasn't skipping out.
No, thank goodness.
Yeah. and real blessing to be down there and to support the ministry. Tell us, Karen, what have been some of the blessings that you've seen as a result in coming alongside and supporting these children with the challenges that life has thrown at them?
From me personally, or what you've provided in helping us?
Just from what you've seen there at the centre.
It's just hard to describe. I'm in tears quite a bit, but I see some of the most incredible progress. Children that one of the girls that's been involved for the last little while now is actually managing to get out of the house, which she has been housebound, and she's becoming more confident. And a lot of people are absolutely blown away to see her out in public, and then she's actually starting to move into public. Just places where they can go. A lot of our people with different abilities are actually put out in the community and having to just sit in cafes or so forth, but they're actually learning to feed the horses or whatever, and they feel so much more valued as a person. And I think it's that part of it that really, as I say, I'm so blessed to be part of that community that we're involved in, and the people that come to the centre, the volunteers, etc., they just blow my mind. And I just think I wouldn't change my life for anyone. And I think that, as I say, God's blessed me very much, and I'm so fortunate in life.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I deserve it. I really don't.
Mm.
So thank you for what you've provided. That beautiful fence, it's getting a lot of comments, and it's keeping the children out of sort of a danger area, so when they come in. And the cubby house, they think that's pretty amazing. And they picked up the rocks out of the area. Well, we're back riding on that. That's a place that the horses we train and are involved in at the centre are pretty special horses. They're bred by us and trained by us. So they actually, some of them lay down, some of them, they do certain things. They become very inviting for the children to be involved in. And that place where the rocks and so forth was cleared up, well, the children are able to ride in that area because we have a number of horses that are on voice command. So with that, they feel the independence of not being led around or restricted in any way. So, you know, every part of it's been a great value to us. And, you know, I could probably, you know, I'll get all emotional if I keep going. So,
no, thanks. Thanks, Karen. Carry on.
I would just like to share, I observed the guys working amongst themselves, and there were ladies there too, so please don't feel that I'm... I'd just like to give a shout-out for three of the guys. I can't imagine why I'm not married, but anyway. Aaron puts Alex Carrasco in charge of the project of putting together the cubby house. He's not in the photo up there, but he, as you probably know, is a qualified builder, but moved on to do other things. And he did an expert job in looking after us. There were about four or five of us wannabe builders with him. We got to work on the tools, which for me personally I hadn't worked on, and no one lost any fingers, and we got the job done. But the really cool thing about Alex was that he brought his girlfriend Cassie with him, and I thought, man, this guy's really cool. He's not only coming to do a working bee, he's also on a date. And I'm thinking, great, good on you, mate, good on you. The other person, and you saw the photo, that was Tim Higgins. He effectively had to work by himself because he was doing the metal work. The welding, etc. We didn't have any other equipment to work around him. So just a shout out for Tim to the soldiering on that he did there. He was a deacon here a couple of years, head deacon, in fact, 2 years ago, I understand. So a big shout out to him. And the last person I'd like to just highlight is Lyndon. And no, not the one that sits in the front office supping on sparkling water all day.
Yeah.
Lyndon Millett.
Yeah.
Bree's husband.
Yeah.
He was...
Oh, Bree's husband. Yeah,
Bree's
husband.
The one. That's right. There, yeah. Not the other one. As you can see up on the montage here, he was our attention to detail man. This guy here, there was nothing on that cubby house that hadn't been looked over with a fine-tooth comb. He meticulously went through it, made sure that all the nails were in, that they weren't exposed on the other side. So it was a really good job. I know he works in the aeroplane industry, and I'm 100%... I'd be 110% confident that any plane that he signed off on, I'd be very willing to travel in.
Awesome. Good.
Do we have time? Just a little anecdote? Look.
You've given a few already, but yeah.
Okay, just one more. Yeah. Just one more. It's actually not a very flattering photo of me, is it? Sort of. It's not very nice. Yeah. Anyway. Right at the end, and Karen's already shown how sensitive she is, and we were starting to wrap up. We'd been there probably four and a half hours, and Karen was just having the last word, and she got just, a little bit emotional, and I thought, oh, that's really nice. It's a heartfelt thing that she did, and I thought, I looked around to see who was present, and I thought, Sean McGrath was there, eh? And I was thinking, I had a vision. I was thinking, now, if Karen gets really, really upset, I know that scene's just going to burst into tears, eh?
Yeah.
And that'd be really embarrassing. So as diplomatically as possible, I sort of interjected and I said, Karen, look, you're very welcome. It's a privilege for us to serve you. Thank you very much for allowing us to do that. And then my default, of course, is to go and tell the truth. And I just then mumbled my way through it, and I thought, well, look, if you get really upset, scene's going to burst into tears and that'd be really embarrassing. So, yeah. So we went our separate ways and that was avoided. So I just want to say, scene, you're very welcome.
Yeah. All good together. Awesome. Now, look, it's a real blessing, Karen, to see the ministry that you are providing to our community. And I say we collectively... I mean the guys that went down there and the ladies that went down there and were able to support you. I'm glad to hear that it's been a blessing for the center there. And we just really want to pray God's richest blessing over Amen. You and the work that you're Amen. Doing. If there are any people here that are interested in serving in any capacity, I'm sure Karen and the team would love to talk to you. Please introduce yourself after the service. And let's just bow our heads now for a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for centers like Kamilaroi that are providing a community, a safe haven, a place of belonging for those in our community that have been ostracized for whatever reason, Father. We just want to ask you, and we know that you are willing to come through and answer this prayer as you have invited us to do through your Son Jesus, in asking that which is in line with your will, Father, and we know that it is your heart for this community that we are tapping into as we serve those. And so we are just asking that Karen would receive a rich blessing from you, that the work that she is doing, Father, would be a blessing to her and her household, so that she can continue to minister from a place of blessing, from a place of wholeness, from a place of security and stability, Father. We want to pray that all those that come into her center would sense your presence, that they would sense the work that is being done there, that your spirit would work in and through them, Father, and that they too would be made whole as your spirit is able to work on them. Father, we thank you that there are many other centers here in this community that are doing your work, that they are being your hands and feet. And we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have had as a church to come alongside and support this ministry, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. I'll grab that microphone. You all right? I'll grab it. Yeah, leave it. Thank you. I'm going to invite the Zambia crew to come on up. Awesome. Let's give them a welcome back, guys. A round of applause. We have Riley, Tessa, and Madison. And Riley, I'll start with you, seeing as you're closest. Tell us about the trip to Zambia.
So we left about 3 months ago to go to Zambia, and we weren't 100% sure what we were doing exactly, except for the maternity ward that we fundraised for. We've been there for 3 months. We did the maternity ward. We did a few other things which the girls are going to share. So, yeah, it was good.
Awesome. So as a church, over what period of time do we raise $10,000?
Yeah, so we found out that we were going to do the project 2 weeks before we left. Mm. And so we got in contact with Sam Bonello, and then he passed it through the board within a week when they didn't even have a board meeting. And then we jumped up the front the week after and we said, like, hey, we need 10 grand. And, within a week, that money, I think a week and a bit, that money came in. So, yeah, praise God.
$10,000. So we sent you with a parting gift over there to Zambia. Can I just say, it's a blessing to be a part of a community that rallies around our young people, amen? When they receive a vision from God of the calling that He has placed on their life and the opportunity that they have to serve, this is a community that rallies around and seeks to get behind them and empower them with gifts to be able to do the work that God has called them to do. And so praise God for this community. So tell us about the maternity ward and just the impact that it's having there on the community.
So when we got there, the maternity ward had been started by the lady that we were staying with, Cherie. Her husband was a builder. He'd started the building, but they hadn't finished it. So it had the walls up and a roof on it, but everything else was not done. So when we got there, we started working on it until it was finished, and now it's finished. It's in the process of being handed over to the government, where the government has already a nurse there ready to work. So within the next, I'd say, month, the maternity ward will be up and running. And what that'll do is offer women and stuff to come and have their babies and then be able to stay in a recovery bed, because previously women would either get dragged in on a mattress when they get go into labour, like on a bike. Someone would just ride a bike with a mattress dragging, or they'd carry her in or manage to get her there somehow. And then they'd have the delivery, and then after she's had the baby, she hops back on her bike with the baby in arm or on her back and rides home. So, like, same day as the labour. So now there's a place where they can come get checked out. There'll be places where they can stay, and then they can come have their baby and then stay in a recovery room for however long they need to recover. And then with that, it's going to save a lot of women having their kids die in birth, because before, like, it was real hard because they might not make it to the maternity ward, but now it's, like, up and running, it's easy, and there's always going to be a nurse there, so...
Mm. Yeah, awesome. You've got some photos for us of the work? Yeah, so you just click there.
All right, so I'll just talk you through them. So this is, when we got there, this is what the maternity ward kind of looked like. So they had the walls and the outside was plastered. So it was pretty, it'd been sitting for about 4 years. And then it was partly done just before we got there. We had some guys working on the plastering. So what you see on that wall, the walls, is that had been done with the money that we fundraised for. So that's them plastering. And then, so what we want to do is we want to concrete around the whole outside. And what happens is people come to clinics or maternity wards and they'll sit there for hours just waiting to get in. So we wanted to give them concrete, somewhere to sit, kind of to, like, line up and see the nurse or see whoever they have to see under the shade, because it's like it can get up to like 40 degrees and stuff there, like, it's terrible. So so what we did is we concreted around all the outside, and you can see there we had to make a makeshift way of, like, watering the concrete because we didn't have any water at hand, so we just, like, made it sweat on itself. And then after the concrete was laid down, we started painting. And the whole building needed to be painted. And the building was 15 metres by, I think, 7. So it was quite a large building.
Can I just say, going back to that photo, Kev, have you got any calls for Central Engineering? This is the first time I've seen Riley in several months without that T-shirt on, which is really good. I'm sure Central will be getting a few calls from over in Zambia. Yeah, continue. I thought that was worth it, eh, Carl? Just a little throw that in there, mate.
So, yeah, we did all the painting on the outside, and I think we finished that in, maybe a week of just, painting and painting, and the girls, they were painting non-stop, so... and then after that, because when we were out there, it was quite difficult. We went over expecting that we were going to have a builder there for 4 weeks, and what ended up happening was when we were thinking he was going to be there for 4 weeks, he actually got a job at Riverside Farm Institution, which is the Seventh-day Adventist farm over there. So he moved from this place to the farm, and he wasn't able to be there to build with us. So he came out for 2 days to help with the project, and besides that, it was me and 5 guys that have never done anything like this before, so they're just labourers.
So how old are you, Riley?
19.
So you're over there concreting, doing whatever needs to be done on this building project. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, we went all right, but... Yeah, we had him come out and do the doors for us and a bit of shelving on the inside. So that was real good for us because I don't think we could have. But and then we started putting up an awning on the last week that we were there. And then these are some shots of the finished project. And we got windows in, curtains, flooring. We went to a Seventh-day Adventist eye clinic and we actually asked if we could have some of their beds. And they gave us... some spare beds that they have, and the beds are worth thousands of dollars. So that was also good. We got, I don't know if we have photos of the inside too much, but there was 3 beds and then a delivery bed, and we put a desk in for reception, and then just some supplies and stuff to keep the place clean. So...
Yeah, so this is a photo that I was able to take when I visited these guys, and unfortunately all the work had already been done. So I wasn't able to do any concreting again. I missed it both times. But yeah, just such a blessing to see these guys in their element, really, just there with the finished product. Just our young people here at Kingscliff having accomplished something that is going to be a lasting blessing to that community there. That's really in the middle of nowhere. Let's be honest in that.
I just wanted to say, so if you see that guy on the right-hand side of me, on the left if you're looking at the screen, his name's Franco. So when we were in Africa, things are really hard to get done if you're white and you're going into a black community trying to get supplies and stuff because everyone wants to rip you off. So we had this guy here, and he was just going out of his way, not expecting pay, not expecting anything from us, which was a God-given thing because over there in Zambia, people just expect stuff. So if they help you, if someone helps you, they expect you to give them a couple of bucks or something. But this guy here, he spent 4 weeks, literally 24 hours, just working on this project with us, going out, doing stuff, buying stuff with us, driving 6 hours into the city, 6 hours back, doing a bunch of stuff for us, taking time away from his family to get this project finished. And so he was a real blessing for us. So, yeah.
Mm. My comment before about this community being in the middle of nowhere, isn't it a blessing that you can go to the middle of nowhere and still see a person with vision? A God-given vision, a God-given heart to be able to support their community and do his work, be his hands and feet there. And even more so, it's a blessing for us to be able to go over and see this and come alongside and support and empower him to really fulfill his vision for his community. It's not Riley's vision, it wasn't Tessa's vision, it wasn't Madison's vision to have a maternity ward there. It was really this community that was crying out, seeing the need. And so we've been able to come along support as alongside as a church and our youth and really make this a reality. So what a blessing that is to be a part of that process.
And you can just see there, that's the nurse and her daughter. So she had just moved there for this when we took this photo. So. Mm.
That's awesome. Yeah. On to Tess. Awesome. So tell us your favourite part about Africa.
So while we were building that maternity ward, we were able to stay at an orphanage. So that was probably the best part for me, being able to look after those little kids. Mm. There was 6 kids and they were all under the age of 5. So, and partway through we got 2 more, so
wow,
that was fun.
And so tell us about the situation here with these children. Why is it that you're taking care of them?
Well, because their families can't afford to look after them.
Okay.
They all have families, but they just can't afford to look after them. So the sure. kids are there until the families are able to take them back again.
Yep. And so that you were saying that while you were there, they brought 2 babies to you.
Yep.
What did that look like? What were the needs in taking care of the children?
Yeah, well, these are the 2 twins that came partway through. One day, Cherie came back from her trip to town with these 2, and she said that the wellness officer pretty much like waved her down and just handed her these babies because the mum couldn't look after them. Mm. And according to the mum, they were 10 months old, but they looked like newborns. They were so tiny.
Wow.
So Maddie and I took them into our house and we looked after them for the rest of the time we were there. But before that, we spent the most time with the other 2 babies that were already at the orphanage, and we just tried to give them some love, because when we first got there, they weren't being held, they weren't being picked up or anything, and they were really skinny, and they weren't being like changed either. They were just lying in their cots all day in their vomit. It was really sad. Mm. So we tried to change that.
So you were literally training their carers while you were there. Yeah. How many children do you have of your own? Yeah. what an experience, hey, to be in a situation where a young girl is over there training people how to care for children.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had enough practice with all of your cousins and everything else, all the little ones.
So that's one of the twins when we first got her. But after 2 weeks, she looked much better than that. So,
yeah. So you did notice quite a big change in the time that you were there.
Yeah, especially in the 2 babies that were already there. Mm. That's Esther. That's one of them. She looks much better in that photo. That's towards the end of our trip. She put on weight and she was laughing and stuff. Like when we first got there, the babies were just like blank faces, no emotion. So that was good to see that change.
Wow. And so this was done through the organisation Kids for Him. And Cherie, who you've mentioned, is from Currumbong down south, a bit of an Adventist centre down south of in New South Wales. And she's been living over there for how many years, guys?
7 years.
7 years.
But before that, like she lived in Australia, and then before that she was there again, so
okay.
I don't know how much it is all up.
Yeah. Yeah, so just an incredible ministry that she had there, and you guys were able to come in and stay in one of the houses that she had and come alongside and support her, who also has adopted 2 children there in Zambia. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's the twin that was being bathed, so she looks better there. That's after 2 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, wow. Wow. And Madison... Yeah, thanks so much for sharing, Tess. Madison, tell us a bit about your experience in Africa and, what you've drawn from it.
Okay, so when we were leaving, we got 2 groups of different people come up and they said that we had money for us to donate to the community in any way possible, just if we saw a need that we could use that money to help them out. So when we were out at Kids for Him with Cherie and doing the maternity ward and whatnot, we saw a real need out there. There was a lot of older people who just didn't have any support. Their families had pretty much just abandoned them, or they'd all died, so they were just by themselves. So we were able to help them out. So we were able to buy them food and blankets and whatnot, and this was one of the ladies that we were able to help. We brought them, different things that really helped them out. There was these men as well. The man sitting down, he actually couldn't walk. He could kind of hobble along, but that was pretty much it. This lady here too, she didn't have very much at all, so we were able to help her out. And this lady here, the minute that we brought the stuff to her, she just broke down in tears. She just cried and cried and cried and just was like, praise the Lord, like this is such a blessing to me. Even though it was only a blanket that cost like $10 or something, she was just so happy and overwhelmed with joy. There was this lady as well, and she just got down on the ground and she was just praising the Lord. She was just so happy. We brought her a mattress that cost us all of like $25 US, and she just said, oh, we sleep on the ground, like this is the greatest joy ever. Like, I'll actually be able to sleep tonight. I won't wake up with a sore back or anything. And just bringing her simple things like salt and dishwashing soap and that sort of stuff, she was just overwhelmed, so happy. So that was a real blessing for us to be able to give back to the community. Mm. This lady too, we were able to... I think that she couldn't walk. Is that... Yeah, she couldn't walk. So we were able to bring her a few things. And we had a little bit of money left over. So we saw that this lady's house isn't very good, right? So the rainy season was coming on and we thought, okay, let's see if we can budget this right and build her a house. And to build her a house, it cost her $40. Cost us $40, sorry. So, and to get tin roof as well, which will prevent the rain coming in, costs another $40. So we opted for that. So an $80 house US was pretty amazing. And that will last her for the next like 5 or 10 years. She won't have to do anything with that. So that was pretty amazing. That's the back of her house. So really she lives in nothing. Now this lady's house, she had already started fundraising for her new house. She didn't have a door on her house, so we fixed that. But her house was really tiny and kind of falling apart. So we just asked her, hey, look, do you reckon that we could build you a new house? And she would just burst into tears. She was so thankful. And so she'd already started fundraising for this house. She'd had enough money for 2 iron sheets for her roof. So we just said, okay, we'll give you the rest of the money to be able to build the house and get all of the iron sheets. So she was very thankful again. That is her house. So they really don't live in a lot, and they're really, really tiny. Okay, so this one, after our time out at Kids for Him, we went out to Riverside, and they do one-day churches. Alan runs them, and they're really, really amazing. They can put up a church in about 4 hours. With their team of people, they can do 2 churches in a day. So, yeah, it was really, really awesome being a part of this. We got to actually be involved in 2 of them. And, like, the churches that these guys were in, they were in, like, literally little bamboo structures. They were meeting underneath trees. Like, their churches were falling apart. So it was really amazing to be involved in something that they are regularly giving back to the community. And then, so that's the structure with all of us there. Yeah.
That's so awesome. It sounds like Jesus' ministry, doesn't it? Amen. Just going from village to village, to house, being a blessing. And it's just so good to hear about your experiences, each of you. And have we been blessed today, church, hearing the report from these guys? Awesome. Let's just take the opportunity to pray for these guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gifts that you give to each one of us and for the way that we are able to use that to be a blessing to others. We want to thank you for Riley, Tessa, Madison, and Sarah, who have just been over to Zambia and have been able to be your hands and feet there in that community. We want to pray, Father, that the gifts that have been given would be a lasting blessing, that it wouldn't just be breakfast in the belly, Father, but it would be a reminder that there is a God in heaven who loves and cares for us and who takes care of our needs. Father, we are asking that the children that have been cared for, that the homes that have been blessed with presents, that the churches that have been built, Father, that they would all be a blessing to your kingdom and that many would be added to your kingdom as a result of this work. Father, we pray again for our young people here at this church, that they would continue to dream dreams and to have your visions, Father, of the work that is taking place both locally and globally. We want to ask that you would continue to place a call on our hearts to be a blessing to all that we see the opportunity to be a blessing for. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for sharing with us, guys. Awesome. So I'm going to welcome Carol and Leon. So come on down, guys. And Carol and Leon, you have a ministry called Education Care Projects Kenya. And how long have you been working over there for?
I think I first visited in 2007. Mm-hmm. Went and volunteered at an orphanage over there and never really recovered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because, when I got to visit, especially Tess was just asking about the ministry there in Kenya and looking for other opportunities to serve. And how good is it that service is contagious? That as we give, that the Lord provides more opportunities to give. And so you've been serving there in Kenya for many years now. You've seen many opportunities. How has the Lord provided for you during that time? What have been some of the challenges that you've experienced in ministry while you've been serving there in Kenya? And what do you do in Kenya?
Well, there's lots of challenges. My big passion...
So you can just click this, or I can click it if you want.
Yes, thank you. My big passion is children and education. There's so many of them over there that if they can get an opportunity, who knows what they can do with the rest of their life. But many don't get an opportunity. Mm. It's a country of poverty. And if you're born into poverty there, you are really disadvantaged. It's not like here.
So people are born into situations where they really do have a desire to serve. They have a desire to be educated. But through to their limited circumstances, they're not able to access education.
Particularly if you happen to be born a female. It's very sad.
Yeah, certainly. And so seeing this need, perceiving that there was a need there, what did you do as a couple to respond to that need? Many of us know of situations around, but we haven't done what you have done. Tell us how that process took place.
I had a friend here who really encouraged me in this regard. I was given the opportunity to register this project as a Rotary project, mm-hmm. Rotary Australia World Community Service Project. So I have a club here, and then we have a receiving club in Kenya. So that provided a really good kind of framework to work in. I remember one of the things he said to me, he said, if you don't do what it is you do, no one else will ever do it and it'll never get done. I also got some other good advice was concentrate on what you can do, not what you can't do. So you might be able to help 10 children, but that's better than helping none. So that kind of inspired me because you do get overwhelmed. And if you'd been following my Facebook page, I remember one night of deep discouragement and I wrote, you know, that my biggest fear is that I too will cease to care, because there's so much, you know, you can go into overload. If you remember to concentrate on what you can do, not what you can't do.
Certainly. So, Leon, tell us about the projects that you are involved in and the children that you've been able to support through the years over in Kenya.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you to the young people, too, who shared their story. That was awesome. Just awesome. So some of the projects, we sensed about 4 years ago that God wanted a school built. And it just so happened that a very kind and God-fearing person and company gave us a lot of money to build a school. And so we set about to do that, and land was purchased, etc. But we didn't do any building this last trip, mainly because the deeds weren't in place, and that was very important. But the children there, we're talking about Maasai children, so this was in the Maasai area. They're lovely children in great need. They have really awful, awful stories attached to them. And the need is enormous and can be overwhelming. So you are looking out for the person that God brings by that day, and then you continue to pray about that situation. And then you come home and you're still praying for that situation, etc.
So what are some of the opportunities that God has brought over your table as a to support and to care and nurture?
So I've got written here, probably the greatest challenge is for the Hands of Hope Academy school. This is a school, they're living in a borrowed school at the moment. And the government could actually, well, we rent it, but it's basically a borrowed school. And because of the history of this school, the government could come in any moment and get us out of there. If that were to happen, it would be very detrimental to 82 children. Now, this same school, 4 years ago, was in another location, a beautiful location. And they'd be very happy to go back to that location because it's up for sale. It was for sale 4 years ago at about 400,000 Australian, and now it's down to 100,000 or 110,000 Australian. So we're waiting on God to see what He has in mind for that.
So we're talking about education in Kenya, providing education opportunities for children that don't have an opportunity to be educated. What is it about this Hands of Hope school? Where are these children coming from? What are some of the situations there that would deem it appropriate for you to come in and provide education for them? Why can't they get access themselves?
Thanks, Joel. So all of these children come from the city dump or the slums. Some slides will go up. Let's have a couple of slides here because it'll show us. So that is...
Oh, yeah?
Madam, you can talk to those, please.
Well, we've just got out of... We've jumped a bit ahead of ourselves. Okay. These children are from the dump. They've been born into awful poverty. And what these people do that run Hands of Hope is that they rescue them. And they're part of this school. They're being educated. Now, this school is doing so well. Every year, now in Australia we have the NAPLAN tests, which kind of gives an indication of how well the children are learning. They do that in Kenya as well, and Hands of Hope School is actually third in the district, which is probably why the government leaves them alone, because they do so well.
And this is okay, that is great. If our Adventist school here was third in the district, we would say praise God. But these are children that have grown up on the streets, the slums, on the dumps. And we're not talking about like the Moolumbar dump. I've taken things there to the dump, and you've got these great bins there, and you're on the back of your ute throwing things into it. And it's all, unless you've got gross things on your ute, you're not going to be exposed to anything, obviously. But there we're talking about it's at the back of a marketplace. And so all of the produce from the market from the day is thrown down into this dump. And these children are there sifting through looking for things to eat. I saw piles of tomatoes and all sorts of things.
That's right.
Moldy tomatoes. It's a disgusting place. And literally these children are living there in gang lifestyles and all sorts of substance abuse. And yes. There's just all sorts of things going on. So for these children to be performing at such a high level, you have to say praise God.
A miracle.
It's a miracle.
Because yes. there is no other way that these yeah. children, given that a lot of them have been taking substances that would impair their abilities academically, for them to be performing at such a high level, you have to say that God has intervened on yes. a great level, not just a small
Absolutely.
Level, but to a great degree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We see that, and it's wonderful. It's a beautiful place. It's not beautiful in that the buildings are beautiful. They're terrible.
Yeah. yeah.
It's the people that are beautiful and the smiles on the faces of the children.
Yeah.
All together in Kenya now, we have over 60. Mm. 60 children. Not all come off the dump, but they've all come out of very, very needy situations. Mm. And they're all in various stages of getting their education.
Yep. So we've got a student on the screen that has been through the Hands of Hope.
Yeah, and not Hands of Hope. This was another one. We were in Eldoret. Actually, we were there with you, weren't we?
Yeah.
And this young man came running up and said, "Do you remember me? Do you remember me?"
He called us by name.
Yeah, Carol and Leon. It took me a while to figure out who he was. He's changed so much. And he was one of the students that we helped through university some time ago. He did a business degree and he's now set up. He's got an office there in the shopping centre. And he said, "Thank you. Without the help I got from you people, I wouldn't be where I am now." Mm. So that gives you much needed encouragement.
Oh, for sure. And just seeing him there, knowing where he has come from and his background, I didn't spend much time with him, obviously, but just he is a blessing to not only himself but to all of his family. And so you step in and you provide education for one, and then the entire community is blessed as a
That's
result.
Right, Joel. Yeah.
Mm. And he'd have never been able to get a university education without some help.
Yeah, certainly. Mm.
This young man, I was busy in the kitchen of our little place that we lived in there, and I looked around and there he was at the door. His name's David. He was one of the first Maasai students that we had. This year he does his final exams in high school. And he walked in, finishing high school. He came up to me and he said, "I just want to say thank you." He said, "For all the time I was at school, I was never chased away because the fees were not paid." That's what they do over there. Mm. If the fees aren't paid, they chase the kids away. He said, "I never had to worry about being chased away and I always had shoes." Mm. And he said, "Thank you." Mm. And, that was encouraging.
Yeah, certainly.
That's little Angelo. Angelo has a really sad background. He is not wanted by his father. His father believed he was not his real biological son, and they didn't want him, wanted to get rid of him. But Angelo's at school. Angelo is brilliant. In fact, it was Leon. I'll get Leon to tell you. Leon was able to go and sit with the teacher.
This young boy, Angelo, is Abel in the room? This is Abel. This is your man. Abel partners this young boy. This young boy, his result in his last exam, his teacher's name is Celestine, and she said, "Don't ever take him away from me. He is just my very best helper and such a bright student." He got 492 out of 500.
Hmm.
He has a photographic memory, basically, and is in grade 3.
Hmm.
And apart from that, he loves everything to be neat and he's always tidying things up. He has her room all tidied up. And
he does.
This is amazing.
He does.
Now, if you say to him, "Angelo, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with the rest of your life?" He will tell you quite seriously he's going to be the president of the Republic of Kenya.
Hmm. Yeah. And he said that from the day he was rescued.
He's going to be president.
How amazing.
And so when you say rescued, you're talking about a young boy who was poisoned. So he could have had the land titles taken away from this man's other children that were born to his mother.
Yeah, yeah. So they wanted to get rid of him, and the story is that they dosed him with poison when he was born, but he didn't die. And then he was given away to a rich man to care for his cattle. But anyway, he was rescued and taken along to school. First off, he did not do well because he wasn't used to spending time with children, and he would bite and scratch and everything. But then it all just fell into place and he began to just do really well. And he is going to make his mark on Kenya, that young man.
Amen. Yeah. So each of these stories here you see on the screen, these are stories of redemption. These are stories of where God...
Transformation.
And so it's a blessing. He was having seizures when he was rescued. Oh, sorry, before in his early life.
He doesn't
life.
Have them anymore, thank God.
Yeah, so from a dose of poison, obviously, that's going to have side effects.
I think that could have had an impact.
And so we praise God for the way that the need was brought to you and you were able to step in there, and now he's doing so well, excelling in school and given an opportunity where that opportunity was taken away before. And so we praise God for the work that is being done there.
That's Vivian. Vivian also is in grade 3 and she also is a bright young lady. Her result was 486. Out of 500. And her teacher said to me that, I don't want to repeat this, I don't think.
Well, I was going to. It made me angry, and then I thought, look, you've just got to face reality. The teacher said to Leon, she's another Angelo, but she will be limited because she was born a female. Oh, I saw red. But then I realised it's true. But I just pray that she will have a...
Well,
we will do everything we can so that she can go right through and have a university education, and hopefully she'll have, God willing, she'll have a happy and fulfilled life.
Yeah. Certainly.
Now, this is little Kunai Ann. Now, Ann...
Lyndon.
Her English name is Ann. Her Maasai name's Kunai. Now, she was to be married... was it beginning of last year, to a 60-year-old man. Now, she put up a really good fight.
A 60?
Yeah,
and how
old
is she?
That's what they do. Anne was about...
She's about 11.
Now, well, this was a year and a half ago, so she's pretty young. But she's at school now because somebody cared enough to go and rescue her, and she's at school and she is so happy. Amen. And I just love seeing the smile on her face. And... we pray for her that she will have genuine happiness and a fulfilled life and, of course, come to know Jesus and know that in him we all have a wonderful future and a hope, don't
Amen.
We?
Amen. Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11.
She's a beautiful girl.
Lyndon's family.
Yes.
Partner. the beautiful girl. Yeah.
Now, these are two little girls. That's what they looked like when they lived in the slums. The mother has no education. She has about 6 children, I think. Her husband is an epileptic and is growing steadily worse, and so he cannot contribute at all to the family. So the mother has the whole load on her shoulders. This was Doris, the younger one's Doris. The older girl is Mary. Now, the next slide. We go
Pastor
to the next
Mrs.
slide.
Pastor and Mrs. Palmer, partners here with Mary.
Now, this is Doris. That's her now. Bit of a difference, isn't it? Now, in the tests that they do... if you just go back to Doris for a minute. In those tests that are, equivalent to NAPLAN that we have here, Doris is the top student for year 3.
In the whole
of
the county.
District. That's pretty good, isn't it? She's a very bright, beautiful little girl. Her sister Mary is finishing primary school this year. She is the sweetest, loveliest girl. She's does very well academically. She's also got a beautiful singing voice, and she's one of the leaders in the choir that they have there. And it's our desire next year that she'll go to one of our Adventist schools, a Seguero school. It has a very high academic standard, but I think she's going to get into it. And so I'm just praying that that's... Mm. Well, I know it's going to happen. Yeah.
I just want to highlight. So I met these children. This is the day that I met them there. Beautiful young kids. It was my first interaction with the students. It was amazing. We were playing games. They're singing songs about Jesus and the transformation that he's wrought in their life. And it wasn't until a week later that I met some children that had just come off the streets, and they were there in a centre, a government-run centre. And there was a stark contrast in my mind. I felt uncomfortable leaving things around. Every time we would shake hands or something like that, I'd be getting my hand sanitizer out. It was a very uncomfortable situation. And then to learn that just months before, just years before, that these students were living in that situation just totally changed my perspective. Just seeing what God is able to do. Looking at those children, I'm sorry to say, but it's easy to write people off, isn't it? It's easy to say, no, they're too far gone. We can start with someone else or whatever else. But in God's eyes, we are never too far gone. In God's eyes, it is only God that can turn those children into these children, performing at the top level academically for their year level. It is incredible for the way to see that the way that God has worked in their life. And just on that, we were able to take the choir from this school over to sing to these street children, and they're singing songs that they have written themselves, or the choir leader from their school has written about the way that God has been working in their lives. And so they are literally standing there ministering to these children that is them just a couple of years ago for many of them.
That's right.
And so just that moment of seeing that this is where they have come from and this is what God is doing in their life now, it was incredible. It is a moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life, just knowing that there is never a time that I could be too far gone.
That's right.
It may not be through poverty, but it may even be through decisions of other people or myself, but God can always work.
Amen.
God will work, and he is willing to work when we allow him to. Yes. And so many prayers are being answered in this school.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt about that. Mm. I will say one more thing, and that is that as a part of this gathering that we had, we invited the parents. When I say we, I mean them. Carol and Leon were invited. The parents made a special point to invite the parents of these students. As Carol has said, these are parents that were trying to care for their children but couldn't through difficult circumstances. And so a number of these parents were able to come and with tears in their eyes witness just the transformation in their children and the way that they were ministering.
Exactly.
And it was just so powerful to see these parents' reactions. Mm. And as I was standing there, I was moved, I believe, by the Spirit just to point out and say that these are your children. And this is the work that God has done.
Yeah.
He has answered your prayers.
Yeah.
And it was incredible just to see that moment of just these students looking into their parents' eyes and these parents looking into these students' eyes and knowing that God had answered their prayers.
Yeah. Mm. And they're God's children first.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing.
And, you know, we were born in a country where we had every opportunity.
Mm.
You know, good food and love and clean clothes, we just took all that for granted.
Mm.
Going to school was just, you know, we thought everyone did.
Mm.
But that's not the case.
Yeah.
Mm. We deliberately wanted to do that weekend, and we went to the Greater Rift Valley Conference, and the president is a wonderful man there, and he got behind us and he actually came and participated.
Mm.
But we wanted them to see that children's ministry is just as important as when they bring choirs in from Tanzania and have a big public evangelism thing, that this is child evangelism and this is what we should be doing as well. And I think they got a bit of a vision for that too.
Yeah, certainly.
And if I could just say also, on that same day, two people gave their testimony of where they once were, and this is where I am now, and Mary was one of those.
Yeah.
And she just shared her story of a year and a half, 2.5 years earlier.
Mm.
And then she witnessed to everyone what she is now.
Yeah.
She is a born Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, she's a baptized, born again Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
And of those 60 children, about 27 of them are. Mm. Praise God.
So tell us, how is it that you are able to provide education? Leon's obviously got a very high-paying job in the city and is able to support all of your hundreds of children that you're supporting over there. But how is it that all of this is made possible?
Well, we do have some sponsors. We have people that help us or partner with us to help keep these children in school. I had an op shop for a couple of years, which I loved.
Yeah.
And that was a good fundraiser too.
Mm.
So... yeah, and God just seems to provide.
Mm. Yeah. And on that, so going down to Mullumbimby, it was last year that I came and visited you in the op shop and just seeing, it was a little doctor surgery that you converted into...
radiography practice, yeah.
Yeah, into an op shop there, and it's all secondhand clothing, which smells like secondhand clothing. No, it's been washed and whatever else. But that, just to know that one little shop was doing such an incredible work, it wasn't until I got there and met these children that I saw, like, praise God for secondhand clothing and the opportunities that he's provided and all of that hard work that you've been putting in. Literally the thousands of dollars that have been raised through that to be able to support these children. Yeah.
A book will be coming out in a short time, published by the Review and Herald.
Pacific Press.
Oh, I got that wrong. Sorry.
We're hoping in time for Christmas.
Yes, and that's going to tell of a journey to Kenya, basically, and that's a fundraiser as well. As Carol said, there are a lot of sponsors. The choir, the Adventist Hands of Hope Academy Choir, have produced a DVD, or in the process of, it's nearly finished.
Yeah.
That too will raise some funds as well as raise awareness of Christian education in Kenya.
Yeah, praise God. There is a website, Education Care Projects Kenya,
yes,
that you can come alongside and partner with Carol and Leon in the work that they're doing, providing opportunities for transformation and ministry over there in Kenya. Really encourage you to take those opportunities. Come and talk to Carol and Leon. There are hundreds more stories, and it'd be great to have the opportunity to share those. But let's just take the moment now just to pray for the work that God is doing there. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We have to praise you because it is only you that is making all of this possible, Father. It is only through you and your Spirit that any of this is possible. And so we thank you for the transformation that we witness. Father, we want to thank you for the stories that have been shared and for the fact that this is just a few of the many lives that you are transforming both in this community and abroad, Father. We want to thank you for Carol and Leon, for the work that they are doing and for the way that they are living out the calling that you have placed on their life. Father, I just want to ask that you would continue to empower them to be able to do the work that you have for them to do there in Kenya.
Thank you.
We also want to pray for the many students that even today are worshipping in church. Even today they are there in their boarding schools and they are worshipping you, Father, as a result of the work and the sponsorships and the partnerships of people in this congregation and abroad, Father. We want to pray that you would continue to multiply their effectiveness, multiply their influence over there in Kenya, Father, and continue to provide more education through this couple, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Thank you so much. I'm now going to invite Pastor Ashrik up, and he has a couple of special guests that aren't really guests. Are they, Pastor Ashrik?
No, they're not. That was great, Joel. Thank you so much. We're just going to take the last few minutes here to introduce you. Let's have a seat.
Thank you.
To Greg and Sarah King. Can we give them a warm Kingscliff welcome? Thank you so much. So over the last month, a couple times I have been up front, we've been talking about how we're going to be getting basically missionaries that are coming here. Missionaries don't only go from Australia and America, they come to places like Australia and America. And Greg and Sarah King are dear friends of Violet and I's. We've known them for many years. They have three beautiful children that are sitting right down here. And Sarah is coming to partner with us here at the Kingscliff Church for the next year, maybe up to 2 years, as a volunteer pastoral assistant. And she's coming here free of charge, and it's going to be a giant blessing to our local church. And so I wanted you to get a chance to meet these two beautiful human beings. They're going to be local members here. And just wanted to sort of talk to you guys a little bit about... Sarah, tell us who you are and what you're really passionate about when it comes to ministry, and then we'll let Greg do the same.
Thank you for the introduction and the welcome. Right now, I'm feeling super humbled and convicted by what was shared. The young people, Maddie and Tessa and Riley, right? Really moved by your trip and, of course, the school that we just heard about. And so my heart's been turning about just how God moves in our lives. So Amen. You said missionaries, you know, can not just leave Australia but come to Australia. I'm very humbled by the title missionary. What I'm passionate about is the communication of the gospel and yes. of what God has done in our lives. And so I couldn't help but think, sitting here listening to these stories of children who are being rescued, just how essential it is to remember that we in Jesus have been rescued.
Yes.
And so I'm excited about hearing the stories of God's rescue in the lives of the members of this church and getting to share my own because I think it's a pretty common experience depending on our circumstance. But it's not that we haven't experienced God as much as that we are quick to forget how he's moved. And I think that we remember by hearing each other share stories and to be vulnerable and honest about what he's done and what he's doing in our lives. So I'm passionate about being in a circle of people like I was this morning and talking about God. He's so worthy of it. I'm passionate about praying together. It's very, very powerful. And I'm super excited about Bible study. And I think that as much as we learn on our own independently in study, when we share and give voice to what we're learning and hear from each other, it changes things. And really serving in God is worthy of our time, of course, and our heart and our dedication, but it's so life-giving to serve. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to get to know God by getting to know others and to serve in that way.
I love that, and you're going to get a great opportunity over the next year plus to get to know Greg and Sarah. But you said something there, Sarah, I just want to pick up on briefly. You said you're really passionate about Bible study, and you've been involved long-term in an interdenominational ministry in the United States. Talk to us, just give us the sort of snapshot of what you've been doing in that ministry and what it is and how some of that might translate into the passion that you have here at Kingscliff.
Sure. So as a new mom, I am originally from California. I will make it the shorter version, but just to give some background, we moved across the states from California to Connecticut. Very new mom, toddler, and I was having my second boy, Daniel, and finding myself on the East Coast in a new setting, not knowing really how to connect, feeling a little bit just alone and knowing that I needed to be with other women and adults and also in the scriptures. I sought out, I joined a class called Community Bible Study. It is international, non-denominational. And actually the way that I heard about it was some women were talking about their class. They mentioned Bible study. My ears perked up. I said I might be interested. And this is the way that they introduced it. They said, well, you can't come until the beginning of the class, and you have to do your homework or you can't speak. And all these things that actually made me all the more interested, because it sounded like kind of maybe a hard to get into Bible study, and I was ready to use my mind and stop just talking baby, toddler language or non-language. So anyway, I did join a class, and the women there embraced me. And what I found was that being raised in an Adventist schools and going to Adventist church gave me the gift of really exposure to the scriptures, Genesis through Revelation, and a lot of understanding on God's love and his story. And so if I would just share in a circle, I could see quickly an impact of people who would say, where did you learn that? And what's that lens? And that this type of thing. So my first year was about receiving and interacting. The next year, I was asked to serve as a children's teacher, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it, and I got to be with my own children, teaching them memory verses and the Bible. Just a few years later, they asked me to be a leader, and it just kept going from there. And even as an Adventist, in a non-denominational setting, I was invited to lead a group of about 150 women and to teach weekly in that group. And I share
150.
That...
150?
Yes, and they meet on a weekly basis. The leaders meet as well, so it's a 2 day a week, a 3 day a week commitment somewhere in there, and it runs. The program's a beautiful program. It runs an academic year, so for us, it's September through May, and the curriculum is just in the scripture, and it goes. So if you are studying the book of Matthew with the class broken down into groups of about 15, you will read the entire book together and answer questions, and it's a very safe environment. So I've learned a lot of things about group facilitation and Bible study, the power of prayer, and the beauty of our Adventist message.
Yes.
And because of some of the dynamics and the structure that they that Communion Bible Study uses to make it a very safe place for any denominations. In fact, we occasionally would have Mormon women from the community come in to check it out, and certainly many that were raised atheist. The way that we shared the Bible was not to say this denomination, that denomination, but we would say, I believe that the Bible teaches, and then just fill in the blank. Mm. So it was a really beautiful opportunity to be able to share our view of God as love and of his return and of the beautiful story that it's not just the New Testament that we look at, but that his covenant has been so beautiful. Present. So learned a lot during that. It was a
so that's sort of 7 years. I was trying to do the math there. 7 or 8 years you were involved in that?
9 years at Community Bible Study, 5 years as teacher and leading in there, yeah.
So safe to say you have a real burden, a real passion for the study of Scripture in the context of a community.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah.
Now talk to us, and Greg, you're welcome to answer this, or Sarah, either of you. So you've decided to come to Australia to help us out, volunteer pastoral assistant through the North New South Wales Conference. That's a big move. You've got three children. You've just up and moved from Connecticut. You've come over here. Talk to us just briefly about that. Why would you do that kind of a thing? That just seems wild and crazy.
If you say wild and crazy, then I give it to my husband.
Yeah, I get the wild and crazy stuff. It's great to be here, and I have to agree. I was thinking, how are we going to even talk to you after what we just
saw
here.
So beautiful.
I mean,
so
it's
beautiful.
It's amazing. And part of the reason we're here, I think, is to just treat ourselves, frankly, to the experience of being involved with a community that does this kind of thing. Mm. And we've been friends for a long time, and it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. Great experience for the kids to live in another country. But I think we would like to think we're just crazy enough to try to hear from God, and even though we don't know what's around the corner, just kind of go. So that's what we're doing, and we'll see what happens. We have absolutely no idea. Like you said, 1 year, maybe two. We're blessed to be in that position. So
I love this idea that it's an opportunity you just couldn't pass up to move at your own expense to another country and work for 2 years for free. This is an opportunity you just couldn't let that up. If anybody else is looking for a similar opportunity like that that you just cannot pass up, come and speak to me. I'll do my best to arrange that for you. Greg, so you have three beautiful children. You also run a business, so you'll be traveling quite a bit back and forth from the United States. Sort of how do you see yourself fitting in here? Apart from getting tan and learning to surf, I mean, are you just basically who are you and what are you doing here?
You can say it, the sidekick. That's okay.
You're the sidekick. Okay, I like that.
No, honestly, there's a lot of mystery to it. I do have a business that I have a couple of partners with in the United States, and I'll be trying to maintain that from here a little bit, but relying on them to keep it going. I don't know what's in store. I got to tell you, and I think you know, I'm totally interested in. Well, first of all, what I'm passionate about, because you said you're going to ask that question, what I'm passionate about is communicating who God really is.
Mm.
And part of my own reconversion experience, raised an Adventist, but then reconverted in my late 20s, had to do with a book that your partner, Ty Gibson, wrote, but also a lot of your video ministries and things. And I think that, I was thinking about this earlier, sort of a math guy, 2/3 of the angels in heaven went with God, and 1/3 didn't. Isn't that right? But I think we all understand that the ratio down here might be a little different and skewed the other way. But I don't think that if you show if we could all see who God really is,
yes,
to everyone, I don't think that everyone would still choose him because they didn't in heaven. Mm. But I think a lot more people would. And I think that so many false pictures of God are being portrayed in the media and everywhere else. It's just sad is what it is. And so the vision that we have and that we're understanding, and we still don't see God perfectly, but the vision that's being communicated through Adventism, but very specifically through the messages here at this church, through Light Bearers and so on, is what I'm passionate about. And I love the movement that started in the media side with what's going on here. So I'm just here and happy to be here.
You're Sarah's sidekick.
As Sarah's sidekick, mainly, yes.
And you have three children. What are their ages and what are their names? And where are they going to go to school?
Julia is our youngest, our daughter. She will be 11 in December. Daniel turns 13 tomorrow, and Samuel, our oldest, is 14, and they will go to Tweed Valley College in Brilliant. January. We're keeping them for some time.
I'm sure the kids love that.
They do.
Great. All right, can we welcome them again? So great to have Greg and Sarah here. All right, well, listen, as per Greg and Sarah's words, if your heart has not been moved today, you need to check your temperature. You need to check your pulse. You might not be breathing. That was so powerful and so beautiful, and I cannot tell you, as a parent of two teenagers, I was just sitting there imagining Scott and Lynn and Kevin Darnell and Joe and Lyndon, you know, looking up and seeing, you know, my 19-year-old son and my 19-year-old daughter, my 20-year-old daughter built that facility and took care of that child. And I tell you, as a parent of teens, it just thrills your soul to see our people, our young people, catching a vision for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? I mean, just like, wow. And even just the local work here. Thank you so much, sister. I ride my bike by the equestrian center there. So, praise the Lord Jesus for Aaron and Serena, the work you guys have done, and the work that you didn't do, Joel. Praise the Lord for that. But thank you, Joel. Great interviews, outstanding Sabbath today. We call these Sabbaths say-so Sabbaths because the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we're going to have prayer now, and as a part of our sort of closing, wrapping up prayer, we're also going to pray for the food. We've got giant vegetarian meal outside, so we'd love to have you all join us for that. So why don't we bow our heads here and just thank the Lord for his amazing goodness to us. Father in heaven, the psalmist of old said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And Father, today we have said so, and we have heard so. We have heard stories of redemption, young children, malnourished children, skinny, very small children being dropped off, and Lord, by a miracle of grace, being taken care of and nurtured back to health by teenagers from Australia. How do they get there, Father? By the movement of your grace and your spirit. Father, we have heard about children that have been raised on dumps, raised eating rotten tomatoes and other food, and these children have been rescued. And Father, that's exactly the right word. We praise your name for the ministry of Leon and Carol and the network of people that they are sponsoring and partnering with. And Lord, people are being rescued. And Father, right here in our own community, we learned about this beautiful equestrian care center, Lord, that is rescuing people in our community. It's not just hurting people out there on the other side of the ocean. Father, there's people right in our community that are going to stay in a hotel tonight because their home is unsafe, because their parents don't want them, or maybe they don't have parents. So, Father, we want to thank you for this Kingscliff community. We want to thank you for the various ministries and support networks that are here. Father, we want this church to be a light shining on a hill, locally and globally. Father, we believe that as we lay hold on the global work, that you will enhance our local work. And we're thrilled about the fact that you've sent us Sarah and her sidekick, Greg, to come and to be a minister here in our local church, Father, to give up 2 years of their lives to come and bless a local congregation. Father, help us just to be mindful here for especially the long-term members of this church, just how blessed we are to have what we have. As Carol said, even things like food and a house and a school to attend and a uniform to wear and shoes on our feet. Father, we are swimming in your goodness. We are swimming in your blessings. And we're about ready to eat a meal. There's going to be a ton of food, and there's going to be leftovers. Father, just that concept of food left over. Help us to be today so thankful, so aware, so mindful of the privileged position that we occupy. Father, privileged not just to be here economically and socially, but Father, privileged to be your sons and daughters. Help us, Father, not to be selfish and not to hoard the blessings that you have given to us, but may we learn how to share financially and in our skills and in our time and in our resources and our energy and our efforts, so that we, like these teenagers that are leading us by example, whether it's Reuben building a cubby house or Tess and Maddie and Riley and Sarah going overseas, Father, they lead us by example that anybody and everybody can be involved in the advancement of the kingdom of God. Father, you are in the business of rescuing. You have rescued us. Help us now to extend the rescuing, redemptive hand to those around us. Bless this food, bless this fellowship, and we thank you for this local church. Revive us, revive our young people, and Father, please make us a light on a hill in this local community. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen.